I thought of Shirley saying, "We killed a thinking being," and George saying, "That was bullshit." Except it wasn't bullshit. The bat and the fish hadn't come equipped with things that looked like transistor radios because they had been animals. Today's visitor, which we'd hacked to pieces with tools we'd taken from the pegboard, had been something quite different. However loathsome it had seemed to us, no matter how instinctively we'd repudiated it. Shirley was right. It had been a thinking being. We killed it nevertheless, hacked it to pieces even as it lay on the concrete, holding out the severed stump of its trunk in surrender, and screaming for the mercy it must have known we'd never give it, couldn't give it. And that didn't horrify me. What did was a vision of the shoe on the other foot. Of Ennis Rafferty falling into the midst of other creatures like this. Things with yellow knobs for heads, under tangled masses of pink ropes that might have been hair. I saw him dying beneath their flailing acid-lined trunks and hooked talons, trying to scream for mercy, and choking on air he could barely breathe. And when he lay dead before them, dead and already beginning to rot, had one of them worked his weapon out of its holster? Had they stood there looking at it under an alien sky of some unimaginable color, as puzzled by the gun as I had been by the radio? Had one of them said, "We just killed a thinking being," to which the other had responded, "That's bullshit"? As I thought of these things, I also thought I ought to get out of there right away, unless I wanted to investigate such questions in person, that was. So, what happened next? I've never told anyone that, but I might as well tell now. Seems foolish to come this far and then hold back. I decided to get in the trunk. I could see myself doing it. There would be plenty of space. You know how big the trunks of those old cars were. When I was a kid, we used to joke that Buicks and Cadillacs and Chryslers were mop cars, because there was enough room for either two Polacks or three guineas in the trunk. Plenty of space. Old Huddy Roya would get in, lie on his side, and reach up and pull the trunk closed, softly, so it just made the faintest click. And then he'd lie there in the dark, breathing the stale air from the puff pack and holding the radio to his chest. There wouldn't be much air left in that little tank, but there'd be enough. Old Huddy would just curl up and lie there and keep smiling, and then, pretty soon, something interesting would happen.